You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Get ready for the song ministration that is coming up next from our mother in the house. Amen. And she's going to minister unto us. I want us to put our hands together with Jesus' joy as we invite our mom, sister, Henrietta Ariel.
I want to love you, Lord. I want to wait on you. I want to feel your power. I want to feel your presence. Oh. Sometimes I feel your power. I feel angels all around me. I am praying all alone. I speak to you, Lord, speaking many words, repeating myself over and over. Of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. The spirit of love, the spirit of faith. The spirit of holiness, the spirit of humility. Sometimes I cannot remember what I'm praying for. My mind goes blank. Oh, God, help me. Help me pray the right way. The best. pathway to pray. Oh Lord, what shall I say now? I need to know what to say. Please help me, Lord. What shall I ask for? Oh, what is the best way to pray?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you hear me? You can hear me? Is it clear? Are you blessed already?
Oh,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you excited this morning?
Oh,
let me feel you. Come on, give the Lord a shout and a jump wherever you are. Amen.
Amen.
We are at the best part of the service. Amen. So if you were sleeping or dozing off, you should not have been dozing off in that song. That's too bad. Amen. But I need you to rise up and stand on your feet as the word of God is coming. Amen.
Amen.
And we have the best preacher in Memphis.
Oh,
and the whole of North America, I tell you. Amen.
Amen.
To come and to preach to us and to speak into our lives. I tell you this morning, your life will never be the same again.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're excited as I am, I need you to rise up on your feet. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Put your hands together and let's welcome our father, our daddy, the Reverend Kojo Ollins Lindsay.
Love the Lord the way I do. Just give him a wave of love. A wave of love wherever you are. What a beautiful thing. You know, in heaven, we would have arrived at home. And there will be celebration. You know, when you look at prodigal son's return, think of it as your father's welcome to heaven.
Amen.
Think of it as, you know, you came unjustified. Your sins could not have brought you in. But then, some people will be there wondering, what did this guy do? What did this girl do to merit the arrival?
Yes, sir.
But then the father will say, no, 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 no. This, your brother, was lost. Was a brother from the beginning. I created him from the beginning to be my child. But Satan corrupted him. Thank God he's come to his senses. That is who a believer is. The Father waits to embrace you. And he's giving you a forerunner of what is to come. by telling you his words would still come to you.
Amen.
This morning, let's rehearse the come home theory. Let's rehearse the fact that we've been away for a while, but we're back. Tell somebody, I'm back. In Jesus' name. If you are there alone, point to somebody on the screen and say, I am back. Watch me, I'm back. I see you as you point. I am back to you by the grace of God. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Hallelujah. It's so temporary that if you focus on what is here, you're not going to do much. Hallelujah. You miss out. But today I believe that God will remind us of the brevity of life and the blessedness of eternity. Let's close our eyes, lift up your hands in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, so grateful. Your word says that what honor you've bestowed upon us to call us your children. What love. And it has not even appeared what we shall become. Even right here on earth, we can see the blessedness of being your child. Can you imagine when our corrupted bodies are changed? It will be such a beautiful thing. There will be no need for quarantine because we'll be quarantined with you for life. Blessed be your name. There will be no disease. There will be no tears. There will be no sorrow. This morning we come home where your presence is. Once in the Sabbath, we come to taste, stepping away from the corruption of this world, to fellowship one with another. Because in the end, we'll be fellowshipping with angels. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Anoint us, O Father, with fresh oil. Let your word have free course. Bring salvation, healing, deliverance, wisdom, direction, ideas, answers to life's difficult problems as you speak to us in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together again for Jesus. You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, I just want you to know that this season may last longer than you think. And whatever God has planned for us, let me just let you know that God knows the plans. The thought, Jeremiah 29:11 says that, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans or thoughts of good and not of evil. Yes, whatever happened, to give you a future and a hope, to give you an expected end. So do not focus too much on the evils. You know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, I believe from verse 1, it says that on the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said he saw the Lord seated on his throne, and he described the array of beautiful arrangements. What do you see in all this? I believe that if we can look well, no matter what is happening in the corona, God will shift our mind, our attention, and bless us in a special way.
Amen.
Don't let this fill you with fear. Yeah, don't let it fill you with fear. Okay? So fear is a spirit. Fear and trepidation and intimidation is a spirit. These things will cause you. But I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. He's above everything else. And I want to encourage you that God will show you your best miracle in this season in the name of Jesus Christ. God will let you see your biggest vision in this season. Hey, Bible says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward. I don't know what may have happened in the first phase of this season, but if things didn't go well, expect a better finish. Bible says, though your beginnings were small, your latter end will greatly increase. Yeah, okay. So be encouraged in the name of Jesus. And I want to welcome all of you to the service. And wherever you are, treat it as a sanctuary. Bible says, reverence my sanctuary. Okay? Yeah, keep my sanctuary and reverence the Lord, for I am the Lord. So let's all pay attention and enjoy the service. Wherever you are, dress in your best clothes. Sit up. Take up your notebook. Take up your Bible. Sit like it's a serious meeting, because it is. Because the Lord is here. Where two or three are gathered, when you are there and you see me here, just you, between you and I, we are two already. We're qualified. The Lord is there in the midst of us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right there in your room, that is the sanctuary. That's the presence of God that you're feeling. Let's respect him and let's respect the words that are going to come today. Amen.
Amen.
Today, I want to preach from this book, little book written by our bishop, Make Yourselves Saviors of Men. Make yourselves saviors of men. Make yourself, let's put it this way, make yourself a savior of men. Okay? Make yourself a savior of men. So when you say, make yourself saviors, they say, oh, it's the church, the group. So it doesn't occur. So this one, change it to make yourself, the title is Make Yourself a Savior of Men. I'm changing it. It's from this book. Make Yourself a Savior of Men. All right. Now, Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion. That's where God's seat is. Wherever you see the church, treat it as Mount Zion. Okay? That's the sitting place where the Lord operates. If the Lord is operating in this church, then one of the things you should expect is that saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, when we say the kingdom shall be the Lord's, what we are saying is, you know, when the kingdom, when you hear the kingdom of God, it means where God is king. It means where God is king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where God is king. Now, Christianity essentially is a kingdom where God rules, where God is father. A home is a father's kingdom, okay? Where the children are in subjection, the wife is in subjection, and the man is the priest of the house in charge. And where the right arrangement is, you realize that there's peace. The children listen, the wife is flowing in unity with the husband and the household. When things are not working, we call it a broken home. A broken home. Now, the world was not created to be a broken world, a broken kingdom. It was God's kingdom being created with man, and then came Satan to corrupt Adam and Eve, the first of mankind. And from that day, it has become a divided front, and it's like a broken home. And the Lord is seeking to bring mankind back to the garden that he created. You see that? Just like the kingdom that husband and wife created, want to bring the children back such that they will not look like broken children and a broken home. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I look a little more spiritual and a little more angelic in the glasses. So let me wear my glasses to you. You know, yeah, you see my point. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, so, am I looking handsome? Let me know. I can see my wife is looking at me. She's slain already. She's melting already. Oh, my goodness. This guy is a handsome dude. Anyway, by the grace of God, Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Anyway, powerful. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that the beauty of a home, you know, most of the time, what happens at home affects you in life, affects your future. Now, the Lord's intention is that his household will be kept together, that he will rule. Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. When God's word is in your life, there's power in your life. Most people that are in the world, that are not born again, the issues and the troubles, life's questions don't seem to have answers. You see, but God's word has answers because, you know, when you are in a certain place where the constitution rules, you realize that because of the constitution, if the constitution really operates, the law operates, there's peace in the land. There are no chaos. You see, what the Lord is trying to do is that as a father, he's keen, but he wants to be a father so that out of love, he will bring his rules in my house. The rules make peace come. He brings his rules to bring order in your life, to direct you, to guide you. If Adam and Eve had just taken his word, there would have been peace for you and I.
Oh, yes.
God is trying to do the same thing. That process of bringing people back to his kingdom where his word of blessing and mercy will operate, where his direction will lead people back to sanity, back to the garden, is called the process called salvation. Salvation. He's saving us from our sins, from our mistakes, from our errors, from our bad decisions, from our bad experiences. Salvation is not just your destination is the kingdom of God. Your destination is heaven. That is ultimately the goal. But right here, God makes us see the beauty. Look at Adam and Eve. The destiny had not shown, but they were right in the garden where the rivers were there. God planted a garden for them. God wants to make your life better. God wants to make your relationships better. God wants you to find favor with your boss. God wants you, even your academic work, because of Christianity, for you to find favor and to live a good and peaceable life.
Amen.
Jesus' name. That is what salvation is about. Bible says the kingdom of God is not just meat and drink. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. Meat and drink is part of it. But if you just leave it at meat and drink, you've just missed out. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's kingdom is. It's not just meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God is bringing you peace in your life. God is bringing you righteousness. The right things will be done by God in your life. God is bringing you the joy of the Holy Ghost that no man can take from you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The joy that's from inside. You know, laughter is different from joy. Joy is generated. Joy can create laughter, but laughter can never create joy. Yeah, sometimes you are in front of your boss has made a joke, you are very sad and angry with him, but you have to laugh because you can be fired. That is not joy. That is not joy. That's frustration. That's contradiction of sinners. Amen. So this morning, I just wanted you to know that God's kingdom that he's inviting us to is a kingdom of lovers. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of meat and of a drink as well. Everything is in the kingdom, like the garden. But many people are wallowing out there. Bible says, outside are the dogs. So God is trying to get you to become a savior of men, to bring people to that salvation that brings them peace. What you are experiencing as a Christian, what you in your best days have brought you, let others also experience it. At the very least, think about heaven, that you will not go there as a selfish person, but you come along with people. Hallelujah. So it is about salvation. God says, and Mount Zion, people shall come up as saviors of men. People will come up as saviors, Obadiah 1:21, as saviors of men, Amanda, and the kingdom shall now belong to the Lord again. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. God will be king in people's lives again. God will be father in people's lives again. God will be the one and only person. People will come to him and say, yes, this is the right place to belong. Amen. But as it stands now, there are two kings. There's a kingdom of the devil. There's a kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms in the world. Amen.
Amen.
So Bible wants to translate us or people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, to the kingdom of light. And that is what this morning's discussion is about. Okay. So the process by which we do that is called salvation. The agency is called the gospel. Yeah. And the messenger is called the savior. You are saviors. You are going to be saviors in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So make yourself a savior of men. That's the title. Make yourself a savior. That's the title of the book. Make yourself a savior. And let's all become saviors one by one. It starts with you making yourself a savior. And you too, make yourself a savior. And me a savior. And you a savior. And then together we are saviors of men. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So this type thing is the process, the making of saviors. The making of saviors. The making of saviors. When we say Christianity, we are talking about Christ-likeness. Becoming like Christ. And if Christ was a savior, you ought to be a savior.
Right. That's right.
Yes. If Christ was a savior, you ought to be a savior. Amen.
Amen.
It was just an initial thing. that he did, that we will likewise follow. So we're going to go into the word and share the gospel, or let's put it this way, the Great Commission is what it's called, but the Great Commission is the mandate. Okay, is the mandate or the authority of a Christian, the Great Commission. It's committed to us. Okay, so call it, you know, the general title is Making Ourselves Saviors of Men, Making You a Savior of Men, and subtitled, today's one is The Great Commission According to Matthew. The Great Commission According to Matthew. The Great Commission. Now, when we say a commission is actually an authority statement. You know, I'm giving you the commission to go and to set up a school. You've been given the mandate, the authority. You know, the authority or mandate. Okay. Now, that is what a commission is. Jesus Christ also gave us a commission, you know, when he was leaving, because he was the first. So a commission is an authority order, a charge or direction. Okay, it's authority granted for a particular action or function. All right, it's a document granting you such authority to carry out that mandate.
Do business.
Yeah, to do the business. Now, what is this business? What is this? According to Matthew chapter, according to Matthew, okay, the Great Commission according to Matthew. Let's read Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 from verse number 16. Now, Jesus was speaking, okay. Then Jesus had been killed. Jesus had died on the cross, and people had mourned over that. It was the third day, and they were there. Now, Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Jesus had told them that when I go, you wait on the mountain. Wait for me. I'll be there with you. Okay. When they saw him, Jesus came, and when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. You see, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Some doubted. And Jesus came, verse 18, and spoke to them, saying, I'm reading from New King James, all power, and for King James says, all power, yeah. King James says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm going to read it again. Jesus had come. He had finally, he was finally going to go to his Father. The last words that he spoke are the words that I'm speaking to you. Now, the words of a dying man or a departing man are the most important words of that man's life. When people have plane crashes, these days, they have all kinds of abilities through Wi-Fi to send messages. All the messages have been serious messages. Not, hey, go and iron your clothes, okay? Hey, make sure that you bath every day, okay? Those are not the things they say. They mention their will. They mention the some monies that they've hidden and what should be done with it. They mention all very important things. Okay, so you have to take the words of a dying man seriously. Jesus had his last words to say. He had just one opportunity to say it. In a way, it gives a summary of what he is requiring when he's not around. In a way, a dying man always speaks. That's why they call it his last will. His last testament. His last, you know, whatever it is his will, what he wants done in his absence. Now, so if you're a Christian and you want to ask yourself, what is required of me? You know, the most frustrating thing is to live in a place where you don't know what you are required to do. But many Christians do not understand that these were the words of what Jesus required. The summary, when I finish, you realize that if you can just take this, even if the whole Bible is away, and you take just this, you would have summarized what is expected of you.
Okay.
Yeah, because the rest, Jesus did. The rest will follow. It's the truth. Most of the things that you benefit, it is because you fulfill a certain condition.
Okay.
Let me give you the common example. When you go to work and you get salary at the end of every 2 weeks, it's not because that was the main thing. You focused on what you are required to do.
That's
the
right.
Person did what he was supposed to do.
That's
yeah, you've worked. You've done what is required of you. That's all you need. You don't even need to know what your salary is. It will be given to you.
Yeah.
It will come. And these days of direct debit, you don't even need to go and count. It will be there. All right? So in the same way, Jesus Christ, what he wanted of Christians to qualify for who they ought to be is what he was saying. And listen what he said. He said they worshipped him. Some doubted. There are some that will take what I'm saying in reverence. There are some that will doubt. I pray that nobody will doubt in Jesus' name. But Jesus came again and spoke. He had one chance and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the first statement. So the Great Commission, according to Matthew, is number one, a commission of power.
Wow.
It's a commission of power. Someone say a commission of power.
A commission of power.
Yes. So the Great Commission, according to Matthew, number one, is a commission of power. He said, all power is given unto me. Now, that means that Jesus, when he says all, what does all mean?
All.
It means without exception. It means all. It means every. It means there is nothing left. There is no power that a Christian cannot have.
Amen. Okay.
I'm talking power. Financial power.
Power.
Yeah. Spiritual power. Physical power, health-related power, the power to have peace, the power to get wealth, the any form of power, all power is given unto me.
Amen.
I'm reading from the Bible, all power, without exception. You see that? All power is given unto me. And that is what Jesus said. It's a commission of power. He was going, he was saying, he said, all power is given to me. Now, if you look in Luke also, when he sent the disciples, he says that, I've given you power over the power of the enemy. Power over power. Let me tell you, every Christian who becomes a savior of men, you are assured of power.
Amen.
Because this is the commission to go and win souls.
Wow.
Let me tell you the implication. You are assured of power. It's the truth. Gospel, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5, if you can bring it up. He says that, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. As I'm speaking, as I have come to Memphis and I've got souls and I've won souls by the grace of God, many of you are here. It is not just in word. What I'm doing is not the gospel. As I'm speaking, it's not just in word only, but also in power.
Power.
And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Do you know what that means? It says, anybody that takes up the gospel, you think you are preaching word. It's not word only. I'm telling you, you are anointed with power, but also you have power, miraculous power,
amen,
financial power,
hallelujah,
power of provision.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And in the Holy Ghost, you are anointed with supernatural presence and in much assurance. Look, maybe you haven't tried it, but if you become somebody who shares the gospel with people, there's a lot of assurance about you. I mean, you're going and there are even difficulties. There's a certain assurance. Look, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
I have served the Lord. I am honoring the Lord. It's going to be okay. Much assurance. I'm telling you honestly. So there is power that comes to everybody that takes up the gospel. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. The reason why many Christians don't have power is because they don't carry the gospel. Yes, I'll say it again. Many Christians are just relaxed. They read the word only. The kingdom is not in word only. The gospel is not just about reading, about sitting in church and hearing. You will see what comes. But God, when the gospel is come, the word, power is coming. As I'm speaking, there is power to transform you.
Amen.
There's power to deliver you.
Amen.
There's power to finance you.
Amen.
There's power to make you wise.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
There's power to deliver you from the devil's grips.
Amen.
All the testimonies that you hear, that somebody said they came and then we prayed for them, and it's just supernatural power that God has given. That's why the church looks powerful.
Amen.
Yeah. And everyone that takes on the gospel, God gives you a quota of power that did not previously exist. It's the truth. Yeah. The 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 4, or is it 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 20? It says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Yeah, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So when we are bringing the people to the kingdom, it requires power. And anybody who takes up the gospel, God has to imbue you with power to do it. Not just words, but power. You see it is as words, but I'm telling you, what is operating in your life is power. It's power. It's power. There's a promise of power to those who carry the gospel to one another. There is power. It's a commission of power. It's a commission of power. That's why in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus Christ again was going. He had discussed with them they should go and wait in the upper room. And he told them, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what will it make you do? You will become witnesses unto me in all Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's the truth. Anybody who carries the gospel, you are carrying power. You have received power. Without power, you cannot do it. And when you do it, you are actually calling for power because it's a commission of power.
Wow.
Yes, it's the truth.
Wow.
It's the truth. And it's not just small power, just limited power, just isolated, but it's all power. All power. I have watched people who have carried the gospel. I've seen their lives. It's like there's a generator in their lives that transforms everything into something good. There's a power at work. There's a power at work to those who carry the gospel. There's a power. It's not every church that preaches the gospel. And it's not every Christian that is interested in the gospel. Because there are Christians, we are interested in the food. The kingdom is not just meat and drink. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. Christianity, when you see somebody preaching like I'm doing and is talking about the kingdom, talking about the gospel, talking about your role as a Christian, talking about you becoming a savior, my goodness.
Power.
He's trying to bring you power from on high.
Yes.
There's a reason why you don't have spiritual power. There's a reason why you don't have miraculous power. There's a reason why everything seems to be rather overcoming. You will become an overcomer because you have power in Jesus' name. When two people are there and they're hand wrestling, arm wrestling, it is the one with more power who overcomes. Today, God is making you the overcomer because you are taking on the commission of power. The Great Commission is a commission of power. It's a great commission. There's nothing great without power. That's why it's called the Great Commission. Not just a commission. Not a weak commission, but a great commission. A great commission. Akwi, so you are actually smoking away your power when you lose sight of the fact that you are a savior. It's the truth. All of you watching me, what is drinking your power away? And you look powerless because you have not taken on the commission of power. Oh, that's the reason why that you wonder, how come there's no prayer power, there's no miracle power, there's no, you lay hands, the gospel and the miracles, they are supposed to draw people to Christ. Yeah, you watch it. As you take on the commission of power to speak to somebody about Christ, suddenly power will come to you. Suddenly, it's just a matter of time. You speak and you wonder, wow, this person changed. Even that faith to speak, it comes from power.
Amen.
Yeah. So you don't just keep coming and coming and coming, but you, the next thing will be, you see, there is power waiting for you, just for you to carry along. Because Jesus, the first thing he said is power. When I send you, I have to equip you with power. Mm-hmm. I send you, say, to Canada. I have to send you with a plane ticket. That's financial power.
Mm-hmm.
That's traveling power.
Yes.
I have to send you with a car. That is power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you go? I send you to the groceries. I have to send you with some money. I have to send you with some gas. That is power. So Jesus Christ did not just talk about the gospel. He spoke about what propels the gospel first. It's a commission of power.
Wow.
It's a commission of power.
Wow.
Yeah. When I understood that, I said, me, I will stick to this commission so that I will stay with the power. I'll stay with the power of God. Because this world, you have to overcome. You need to have power over the power of the enemy. Can you bring it up in Luke chapter 10? When he sent the disciples two by two, he said, they came and they said, man, I saw the devil fall. He said, I've given you power over the power of the enemy. I've given you power over power. Power over power. Power over power. Amen.
Amen.
It's the truth. And he said in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread scorpions. And there's another one that said, and to tread scorpions and serpents, and over all power of the enemy. Somebody say, power over all power.
Power.
Yes.
Power.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What was the basis of this? They had sent them, Luke chapter 10, verse 1. And the 70 returned again. That's verse 17. Returned again. Lord, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. All nightmares are about to be dropped as you become a savior.
Amen.
And verse 1, he had actually sent them by twos where he himself will go. He said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself will come. If the Lord himself is going with you, why wouldn't you have power?
I'm telling you.
Why wouldn't you have power?
All power?
Yeah. And that brings me to the second commission. Yeah. So the first, the great commission, number one, is a commission of power. Number two, it's a commission to go. It's a commission to go. Let me read this scripture again. Luke chapter 10 verse 1. He says, and these things the Lord, after these things, the Lord appointed unto him 70 elders. 70 elders. There are many Christians, including pastors, who don't go anywhere. There's no going. There's no going to talk to sheep. There's no going to talk to souls. There's no going to speak to anybody. You see it. He said, and send them. Sending means send from him. Go. Send them two by two before his face into every city, every place where he himself would come. Listen, whenever you're going for soul winning or ministering, witnessing to somebody sitting by you at your workplace, just tell yourself, God himself is doing it. Because he doesn't send you to a place where he himself will not come with you. So he sent them two by two. He himself is going every place. He himself will be there. Amen.
Amen.
That's also encouraging.
Yes.
Yeah. Many Christians, I can assure you, if you take Christians as 1,000, just 1,000, I won't be surprised that less than 100
Mercy.
Actually speak to people.
Hey.
I think it's even a big number.
Hey. Mercy. Forgive us.
Yeah, Christianity. You yourself, watch all of you, if you'll be sincere, are you somebody who has assigned your life and you know this is your commission on this life. This is what you're supposed to be doing and that's what you do. Let's be real. Let's be real. But it's a commission to go, not a commission to stay. Churches stay in our churches these days. I see we've been commissioned to stay in our churches. We don't send people anymore. We don't train people to become shepherds. We don't train people to go after souls. We don't train people to go go witnessing, to become missionaries. We don't train people anymore. But look, when I was in Ghana as a medical student, and I was coming to the United States to come and do my residency, a commission was given to me. Said, when you go, you have to go and win souls. Do you know when I came to New York, I joined the church. Within 2 months, I was out there. I went to somebody's living room. We started. I had two brethren who came with me. We went and day after day, weekend after weekend, became saviors of men. Spoke to people on the train. I stood on the train to preach. I went to knock on people's doors to talk to them. I made flyers. It's the truth. My wife joined me. She was as pregnant as a pregnant woman. And she followed with my little child. We went train station. We went on the streets. We went on the subway. We were together, one with another. It's a commission to go. We didn't stay in our homes. And by the time we realized, we had a church up to 100 and something. Yeah. And then when it was time for me to leave New York, because I'd finished my residency and fellowship, I was going to go somewhere. And then my pastor told me, no, a Christian needs to go with the commission. And I was going to a completely deserted place where I could not be effective at winning souls. My pastor told me, no way. No way. Where you are going, you will become stuck and you will not be a Christian, because a Christian needs to keep going. He said, I should rather go to Memphis, because Memphis is a place where I can be effective at soul winning. The other place, I was not going to be effective. It's the truth. And so, I just took a job to a place where I'll be effective at this great commission.
Wow.
Have you ever made a decision based on that before? Have you ever made a decision that where I'm relocating, will I be effective as a soul winner? Will I be effective at carrying out the great commission, that as I'm going, it's a going not because of money, it's a going because of the commission? Has it ever been done in your life before? Have you traveled and you were guided by the great commission, or it's all about Mammon, which is the other kingdom God? Which is the other kingdom God. Christians have decided, have become servants of Mammon. Bible says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and Mammon. What is the thing that guides you? Yeah. Anyway, I'm doing my locum. When I had a choice of a number of places, I chose the place where I could start a fellowship, where I could win souls. It's a commission to go, Alex. It's a commission to go, not to stay. A commission to go. The commission to go. Jesus Christ said, go! 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 Don't sit down. Go! Go! We should all do that. Your Facebook and social media must be a go type of thing. Speaking to people. Your workplace, you should get out of your comfort zone and speak to people. If you are comfortable, you relax. The opposite of go is relax. Stay. Churches should not be comfortable, just be. That's why we organize these programs, to bring in people. Come home. Next week, we are doing Come Home Part 2.
Wow.
And I'm expecting that you just leave your comfort zone. Leave your. Even in the corona, you can still go, because they're technological going.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. The Zoom can be sent to somebody. It's a going. We may not be physically allowed, but even then, with our masks, you know, there are programs that are coming up that we need to go. Individuals must go. It's a going commission.
Move out.
It's a commission to go. Tell somebody, a commission to go.
It's a commission to go.
Wow. Yeah. So every real Christian must make a move. Bible says, in him we live and move and have our very existence, or have our being. Our very existence must be because we move in him. Yeah. All of us, many of us, one is, I like a certain couple. They were about to move. They said, no, we moved. We've got a job here. But you know, God has told us, this is where we're going to be fruitful in the ministry. Therefore, we'll stay in this place. So their move was guided by fruitfulness, by soul winning.
Amen.
I enjoy that kind of thing. And listen, I moved here based on that. But you see, because the power is also comes with the move, you realize that now there's power. There's power to do many other things. Power to live. Power to marry. Power to be happy. Power to be financially okay. Power to have a job. Power to live a peaceful life. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 20, I believe it's verse 20, I hope. He said, let's read from verse 19. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. I'm sending you. He said, verse 19, he says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, Jesus was coming again, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus had died. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Yes.
Jesus says, peace be unto you. He's going to tell you the condition that brings the power to have peace. Then verse 20, he says, and when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Evidence that he had died, sacrificed. Then he made a statement, 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. But this time he explained what he meant, colon. He said, peace be to you, and let me explain what I mean. As my Father has sent me, even so, in the same way, send I you. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Wow.
That brings us to the next commission. It's a commission of go ye. You go. It's a commission of you going. Not the church. Not the, but you as an individual. He said, go ye into the world. Go ye. You go. Not somebody. Go ye. You in particular. Go. Yes. He said, so send I you. I'm sending you. Jesus said, I'm sending you. It's not a group. It's an individual thing. And he says that, go ye. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 28. The gospel according to Matthew, the great commission according to Matthew, he says that, all pastors, go ye therefore, that Matthew 28, 19, he said, go ye, Matthew 28, verse 19, says, go ye therefore, go ye, you go, go, you go, you go, not he, not them, but you. That's why I change this, make yourself a savior of men. Because when you see this title, make yourselves saviors of men. Is it you, the church? The pastor is doing it. He's representing me.
Okay.
No, but make yourself a savior of men. He says, go ye. It's an individual commission. Let's put it that way. Yeah, in fact, that's a better way. Yeah, the great commission is an individual commission. It's a personal commission. Put it that way. That's what I mean. Number three, it's a personal commission. It's a personal commission. Isaiah chapter 6 is a very interesting place. Verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Bible says, also I heard, Patricia, that was smart. Man, the people at the back are doing a wonderful job.
Amen.
Clap for them, clap for them. Sister girl.
You have the power.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Jesus said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send him. Is that what he said?
No.
Then said I, here am I, send them.
No.
Then said I, here am I, send the church.
No.
Send Bishop Doug.
No.
No, here am I, send me. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Here am I, send me. Send me. Here am I. Send me. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Commission is a commission of, is an individual or personal commission. Here am I. Send me. Say it with me. Here am I. Send me. Do it with me. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Point to yourself. Say, send me. Say, I go, I go, I go. From now, I go, I go, I go. Bible said there were two brothers, and their father came and asked them, I'm going to send you. And then the brother, one said, I go, but did not go. The other one said, I go not, but later on he went. Who is better? The one who changes mind. So even if you have not gone, you are like that brother. Initially, you were not doing it, but now you've changed your mind. You are going. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I go. I go, I go, I go. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. There's a song like that. Yeah. Yes. What I have may not be much, but I give it. I want to give it all to you. Give us a mic to sing that some of the part. Hallelujah. We'll come there. We'll come there. Uh-huh. Sing us a little bit of that, sister, please.
Oh, Lord, there's just so much to be done. Oh, Lord, so many souls to be won.
You want to come here?
Oh, Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart.
Is David coming?
Oh, here am I. Send me. But you said the ones who labor are few. What I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to you.
Oh, man, it's too powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. David, I don't want you out there anymore when the service is going on. Thank you. Beautiful. So the Great Commission is a commission or it's an individual or personal commission, okay? Yeah, it's a commission to go, and it's, in fact, you can put it this way, it's my own commission.
My own commission.
Say, it's my own commission.
It's my own commission.
May your words not be stuck in your mouth.
Amen.
But may your words actually be words of faith. Amen. That from today, next week, by the time you come, you should have practiced this Great Commission. Because it's a commission of power, you have the power. It's a commission to go. It's a my own commission, a personal commission. The next thing is a commission to teach.
Wow.
Yeah. So go into all the world and teach all nations. Teach. Go ye. Matthew chapter 28, verse number, I believe, verse 20 or verse 19. Go ye. Go ye, sister girl. Oh, praise her, they go down. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Eh? Baptize and teach all nations. So it's a commission of teaching. It's a commission to teach. Amen. It's a commission to teach. Go ye, therefore, and teach. Ladies and gentlemen, that is where the church comes in. When you go, teach them. Baptizing them. And it says, teach them everything that I've taught you. Teach them everything. Now, you can obviously not teach them everything that, well, you know, in fact, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. To observe all things. That must tell you that when you win a soul, you don't put them in the world. You bring them to a place where they can be taught all things. It's a commission of teaching. That's where church planting, church establishment, church growth comes in. If the Christians are doing their going commission, they are doing their personal commission, then the next thing will be the teaching commission, which God has given his shepherds. The pastor has established a church. Now we have even a bigger church than a cathedral. Did you know that? Because the Zoom now can go limitless everywhere. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, so Jesus Christ said, many sheep have I, which I must go and bring, that there must be one fold and one voice, one father to teach them. That's what the commission, if we are doing the Great Commission, there will be a lot of teaching. People will be brought individually. If we're 150 on this line right now, 200, it means next week, if even half of us will obey, we will have at least 300, 400 by the grace of God. It will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. And so, they will come and they will be taught. Just like you have been taught. That on Sunday morning, you know something like, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. How did you learn? Through teaching. Somebody did the going commission. Somebody did the personal commission. Somebody carried out the power. And somebody brought for teaching. May you be the one who brings for teaching in Jesus' name. They should be able to join your Bible studies. Bible study groups must grow. Where centers must grow. Church services must grow. If the Christians are going to carry out this great final commission, which is Jesus Christ's will, saviors of men. So it's a teaching commission. Oh, I want to see many people being taught. I want to see people who are taught over and over and over again until they become strong giants around whom a teaching class can also form. I remember somebody coming to talk to me about Christ many years ago. I didn't go. But then I was pushed to go to church, and Bishop Dag was preaching. He made the altar call. And there I go. I don't know how my hands went up. And after that was not it. He gave me to a ministry shepherd. And that guy followed me like a rat, a cat following a whatever.
Yes.
I tell you, didn't give me 1 inch of gaba.
That was his
I tell you, he used the power, brought me to the teaching commission. He ensured that there is not just a going, it's not just an individual thing, but it's a gathering for teaching. He brought me to a teaching every day. So every one of you who is on the Zoom right now, everybody that you invited, if you are a true Christian and you are a Great Commission Christian, what you will do is that you don't just invite them one day and think your Great Commission is done. But because you know that the person you brought must be taught over and over and over again, the pastor may not get to know the person you brought, but you go again the following week, you bring the person another week and establish, because the Great Commission is a teaching commission. Until that is done, your work is not done. So I commission all of you, based on the word, that anybody you bring, don't wait for Pastor Lindsay, don't wait for Shepherd Cyrus, don't wait for Sister Ariel, but you go and make sure that they are taught weekly. Every week you go for them. That is what I did to many of you. I pressed, I pestered, I even looked irritating, but look at you today. Are you not thanking me? Clap, put your hands together for somebody who understood that it's a teaching commission. So from now, I don't know who you brought today and who you're going to be bringing next week for the come home service. But when they do come, it is an opportunity for you to complete your Great Commission by adding not just the power, not just the goal you've gone, not just the you've done well, but add the teaching and let it continue. That teach them all things. Continue to teach them all things. That's part of the Christian's life. So Christians who just speak to people and leave them in the world, they have not understood that that's not the complete commission. It's a commission to teach. And to maybe it's a commission to continue the teaching of all that Jesus gave. Yeah. That's why I am into people. Come to church. It's not because I get anything. Some of you, I give you something. By the grace of God. It's not anything we're getting, but I understand that the job is not done. The devil is at it again, trying to retrieve people, call backsliding, trying to get people to sleep at home rather than be here. Because when the trumpet sounds, the devil will make sure that he's retrieved if he cannot get you from accepting Christ. He will prevent you from getting the teachings over and over again, because he knows that you become somebody great. So it's a teaching commission. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
The next thing, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The next thing is a teaching commission. And then the next thing is a baptizing commission. It's a commission to baptize. Teaching them, the verse 20, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, when we say baptism, the word baptism is the word immersion. There are three ways to look at this. They are going to be, make sure that the people you bring are baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongue-speaking Christians, spiritual Christians, Bible-reading Christians, spirit-filled Christians, anointed to pray. That is baptism in the Holy Spirit, immersed properly in the Spirit. Spiritual Christianity, not carnal Christianity. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptized in water. Water baptism. Because of Corona, we've put a hold on it a little bit, but it will go away. You know, now if you want to baptize, you should have your own pond, everything, you know, just you alone. We finish, you bath your own water, and we go away. I will pray for you. And then we will come to your bathtub, you alone. Because nobody can use your bathtub because of Corona. You know, so that's made a little bit different. Okay, so it's a commission of baptism. Baptism by water. Baptism by the Holy Spirit, and immersion completely. That's what I see. That you have to be a Christian totally, in totality, immersed. Yeah, your thinking is immersed under your words. You must be a complete. It's not a partial here and there.
No.
Yeah. Totally spirit filled, tongue speaking, church going, tithe paying, forgiving Christian, righteousness, intensive, soul winning, immersed. I am in it fully, not partially. Some Christians, they are not in. One part of them is in the water, the other is on land. It's not going to work that way. It's a total baptizing them. Totally immersed. I am in it. This thing, this is my home. My friends are here. My relatives are here. I found my wife here. My children are raised here. They are in the church. My friends are coming to church. My job is Christ-centered. I pray when I'm working. I pray when I'm singing. My songs are Christian songs. It's an immersion. It's a baptism. It's a total Christianity, not a partial Christianity. Let me tell you, Christian brothers and sisters, the Great Commission is a baptismal commission. It's a commission to baptize. Yes, water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, full immersion in Christianity. Not partial. A Christian that reads the Bible every day. A Christian that prays about everything. A Christian that interprets things spiritually. A Christian that says by the grace of God. A Christian that says God willing. A Christian that says, have you prayed about it? A Christian that says, yes, I'm tithing, and so what do you mean? A Christian that says, why are you not in the church? A Christian that says, I'm traveling, but I have to make sure there's a church there. A Christian that says, I am born again and is not fearful. A Christian that dreams and says, Lord, what is the interpretation? A Christian that binds demons.
Amen.
A Christian that does all nights.
Amen.
A Christian that goes for floor prayer meeting.
Amen.
A Christian who decides you are an unbeliever, I won't marry you.
Amen.
A Christian who decides this is sinful, I will not involve myself in it. A Christian that says, yes, you are naked, but I won't sleep with you. Yeah. A Christian who says, I'm not married, so I'm not going to come to your house. I'm not going to sleep in your house.
Amen.
A Christian who says that I'm going to dress well. A Christian who doesn't show part of the nipples.
Hey,
and because they're dressing.
Say it.
Yeah, that's a mission. It's a commission of baptism. Let's make people saviors of. And many of you, your dressing was funny. But as a savior of men, look at the way you are now dressing. Your talking was funny. Look at the way you are talking.
Amen.
You are baptized. You are properly baptized. Yeah, a Christian who, look, if we did our job of Great Commission well, it may be corona season, but you'll be on Zoom. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You will not sit at home. If you sit at home, it means the job is not done. And finally, it's a commission to the nations. It's not a commission only for Ghanaians. It's not a commission only for America. It's a commission for the Caribbeans. It's a commission for international. Our church must be diverse. Yes, South Americans. It's a commission. When? It should be so important in this commission that when corona is over, we should decide that, Pastor, where can I go and need to start having a fellowship? And I'll tell you, go to South America. And I'll tell you, go to Panama. And I'll tell you, why don't we just find another branch in Colombia? Yeah, in Argentina. And then we can then decide, Paraguay, that we are looking for jobs. It's a commission where people say, I'm learning Spanish so that I can go and start another salvation corner somewhere. In a Spanish-speaking country, in a French-speaking country, it's going to all nations. Why have we kept all our commission to America?
All nations.
That's why I like an international church. May the Lord help us. And finally, it's a commission. It's a commission. The Great Commission is a commission until the end of the world. Until the world ends. To the end. And it's a commission of His presence. That means anybody who is involved in this, the presence of the Lord is with you. God's presence is going to be with you. He said, lo, I will be with you even unto the end of the world. It's a commission where when you win one soul, it's not over until it gets to heaven. That you keep following up. You keep calling again. Hey, I brought somebody. Everyone who's here, who's ever invited somebody to church before, and the person is not here, your next move after this service is go and bring the person. Next week is part two of Come Home. Because until the end, you can't just do it once because it was said and you brought somebody. Where is the person you brought, for God's sake? Is the devil sleeping with the person now? It's until the end. It's until the end. The person must stay till the end of the age. Till the end, must ensure that the person you brought, not just for one day, oh, I can't wait to see next week's service. Because all of you who didn't understand now, you will understand. Come with that person you've invited. Some of you have invited 7 people, but none of them is here. Work on that. Next week will be super, fanta, terrific. And the presence of God, for lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. May his presence be with you.
Amen.
May your salvation endure.
Amen.
May you be somebody who has taken a personal.
Amen.
May you be somebody who goes. May the go commission be yours.
Amen.
May the power commission be yours.
Amen.
May the baptismal commission be yours.
Amen.
May you be committed to the teaching commission.
Amen.
May you be committed to the presence of God commission.
Amen.
May you be committed to the every very end, that once it is started, it's not finished. All of you, I've kept you, trapped you, done everything, prayed for you, followed you, I've visited you, even sometimes giving you money so that you stay, because I know the commission is till the very end. May you have the same attitude. Everybody God has ever used you before to speak to, from today, may you be somebody who pursues, like your child who's not trying to go to school, you do everything to send the child to school. Your child who's not trying to eat and is suffering from marasmus and all kinds of malnutrition, you do everything possible. Why not the children of God? My brother, my sister, it's urgent. The world is coming to an end. Can't you see the pestilences? Can't you see the plagues? Can't you see the earthquakes? Can't you see the wars and rumors of wars? Can't you see the pandemics? It's a sign of the end times. We cannot be reckless. We cannot be reckless. It's time. Why do you think I'm a medical doctor and this seems to be the main thing? I've taken it so seriously that such a difficult person like some of you, you're still in the Lord. It's because I believe in the totality of the Great Commission. May you believe it as well.
Amen.
May the Lord grant you that grace. And may you start now to become a savior of man. In Jesus' name, rise to your feet, please. And let's pray. Put your hand on your heart. The devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy many, many people who claim like they're Christians are going back. The devil is taking them by storm. But Christians think our job is done. No, it's a teaching. No, it's till the very end. And the Lord is saying, my brother, my sister, how come you came alone when you know there's so many people that you've spoken to that are falling short? Is that how you were treated? Would you have been here? Would you have been at this service if you, somebody, was not paying attention to you? If Jesus didn't sacrifice his life, why can't you sacrifice a little bit? Put your hand on your heart. Let's pray. Oh, part two next week, part two of Come Home, will find you bringing somebody and teaching, cutting the person taught, and continue until the end. I see the Lord using you. I see the Lord giving you power. I see his presence coming to you in the name of Jesus. I see a heart of repentance appearing in your heart. Father, forgive us. Say, Father, forgive me for not taking the Great Commission seriously. Help me to do my very best to make it possible for somebody to be established in the kingdom. Like I have been established, I'll be a savior of many men and women in the name of Jesus Christ. So help me God. Now, if you're here, you're on this line right now, don't go away. Don't go away. A very important thing is happening. God wants to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. If somebody invited you, you didn't invite yourself, but you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to surrender to Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity. even if you've given your life to Christ, but you think you have backslidden, you think it's not the same anymore. You used to do well, you used to be very stable, but you realize that, man, it's been a long time since you saved somebody. Save somebody. The Lord is telling you now that, you know, that friend, when you had zeal, that friend that you pursued to Christ, go back. Go back. The Lord is telling you. And everyone who wants to repent, and everyone who wants to give your life to Jesus Christ or rededicate your life, this is your time. This is your opportunity. Put your hand on your heart, wherever you may be, and speak sincerely to the Lord, repeating these words after me. Let's all say this. Almighty Father, here I am again. I want to say, send me. But I know that I need to be saved first. Save me so that I can save others. Let me be genuinely saved. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a true Christian. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died for me, washed all my sins away. The devil cannot intimidate me with my past. It's finished, because the blood of Jesus Christ has finalized the deal. I am born again. I am a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit to become a Christian for life until death. When I come home, I will be serving you and bringing more people along to serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.